are listening to Merkaz al-Sahaba, the voice of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, we welcome our listeners to this program. It is the interview segment, and it is between 8:30 and 9, Monday to Friday. Inshallah, from next week, it will be with Mulana Khalid Yaqub, inshallah. Let's welcome our Hazrat Mulana Salman Yunus. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Mulana?
Alhamdulillah, all is well. Mulana, how's everything on your side?
Alhamdulillah, all good, all well, alhamdulillah.
Mulana is on a break at the moment?
At the moment now is that time of the year. So, maktabs, madrasas are all closing.
Gee.
And everyone's looking forward to that December break as well.
Mm.
So, alhamdulillah, I think everyone is looking forward to this time of the year now.
Gee. And last time we had spoken about this, navigating, especially for the youth and all of us, basically, how do we go through this? Because sometimes it's organizations having forced shutdowns. You can't choose your leave as such. And also for parents, their children go to maktab. So this is the only time that they can really spend time. And we were speaking about going to quiet areas and seeing how you can maintain your Islam. And we need just another reminder on this, inshallah.
Gee, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So I thought it appropriate, inshallah, today being a Thursday, tomorrow, as we know, tonight will be Jumu'ah, inshallah, and Friday. And with the December period upon us already, many are already on holiday. Many will soon be on holiday. Parents might be getting their leave soon. And what better than to discuss, as always, from Quran itself and being on the doorstep before Jumu'ah, which we know Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has emphasized upon us the recitation of Suratul Kahf on a Friday. And that person that recites Suratul Kahf, then one of the virtues of this surah is that he will be protected from the fitness of Dajjal.
Hmm.
So within Suratul Kahf itself, if we see, there are many stories, many incidents, many themes within the surah. But today I thought it appropriate, inshallah, to look at specifically the story of the Ashabul Kahf and the lessons which we can draw from it for our current day situation. As we know, the Quran is such a miracle Allah Ta'ala has sent down, that till the day of Qiyamah, it will be applicable to every nation, every country, no matter what your color or your creed. This will be a means of guidance and protection for us all. So, last time I know we did mention regarding this period being a time of a lot of fitna and a lot of tests and trials for the Ummah at large, where a person has a lot of free time. As well, many people will be receiving their bonus checks, where money will become easily accessible. And to utilize that day in avenues of haram and in the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala is also very, very easy. So for this, we have to look at Quran and see what guidance Quran gives us. There's a reason our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has encouraged us to recite the surah every Friday. One is just by reciting it, we will get the benefits the hadith mentions. But together with understanding the lessons within the surah, then we will be able to apply these principles to protect us from the fitnas out there. So the Ashabul Kahf, we see that it's a quite well-known story, a well-known incident amongst many. So today, inshallah, we don't wish to delve into the intricacies of the story itself, but rather we'll have an overview and see what lessons we can deduce from it, so that going forward, we can make that intention, you know what, this is how we will spend our holidays coming, our free time going about, where our iman is safeguarded. And safeguarding of iman is basically meaning safeguarding ourselves from sin and those avenues which means the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. At the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we see the mushrikeen, they tried everything to try and put Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam down and try to prove that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not the final prophet, where they failed miserably and they didn't know where to hang their heads thereafter. So one of the ways which they sought to do was, they went to the Jews, the rabbis, and asked them, what can we ask him to test whether he is a Nabi or not? And there were three questions that were posed, And amongst these three questions was, ask him regarding this, the dwellers of the cave, the sleepers of the cave, the Ashabul Kahf, ask him regarding this. So they came back to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they asked him, tell us of the sleepers of the caves. As we know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never ever answered from his own account. Everything was wahi, everything was divine inspiration from Allah Ta'ala, and thereafter Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam only spoke. So when this question came about and the answer came, first look at the answer Allah Ta'ala gives before telling the story. Allah Ta'ala first fashions the minds and prepares the minds. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, أَمْ حَسِبَتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا. Allah Ta'ala is asking a question, that do you think the incident of the Ashabul Kahf, the incident of the dwellers of the cave, is something amazing, something great? Mufassireen explaining this ayat, they say, why did this ayat come down in such a manner? And the explanation goes that compared to the rest of whatever Allah Ta'ala is doing in our daily lives, then this is nothing out of the ordinary. Allah Ta'ala is causing us to awaken every day. Allah Ta'ala is causing the sun to rise, the sun to set. Allah Ta'ala is causing the tide to turn. Allah Ta'ala is in full control of that small seed that is growing into a big tree. Allah Ta'ala causes that baby to come out of the womb of that mother from nothing into a human being. So while this story might seem interesting, might seem something of amazement, but remember, in your daily lives, there are so many incidents in your daily life, if you just have to ponder upon, that you'll see the manifestation, the power of Allah Ta'ala in your daily lives. So why this is so important, this verse, for our times? Many a times we see, we look at and we think to ourselves that the powers of the kuffar world, the Western world, the fitnas of shaitan, the fitnas of Dajjal are so vast, so many. How will we make it in this time of our modern era? Remember that Allah that made you live so long, that Allah that kept you safe all this time, that same Allah will keep you safe if you just obey Him, if you just follow His commandments, if you just ponder upon how Allah is taking care of the entire universe, the entire creation, what power, what might, then these forces of batil, these forces of kufr and shirk, they are nothing in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. So never lose hope. I never think that the fitnas are so great for my children out there, that what will I do with them this holiday coming? Which school will I send them? Which madrasa will I send them to? Where they will be protected? We just have to do what Allah asks from us, and thereafter Allah Ta'ala will take care of the rest. You're getting into the story. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala explains, first Allah Ta'ala gives a summary of the story in the few ayats. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala goes into a little bit more detail regarding certain aspects that occurred during this time. So what is the background story? There was a king who was an idol worshipper, and he used to promote this here in his land, in his kingdom, and he used to force people into idol worship as well. So there was a group of youngsters, all individuals at once. Where Allah Ta'ala put this feeling in their heart, where at that time the proper religion of Christianity was the true religion of that time, where the oneness of Allah Ta'ala was the true and will always be true till the day of Qiyamah. So when they saw all this idol worship, one of the signs of Iman is that when sin or an evil is being committed, then your heart naturally feels disinclined towards it. Allah Ta'ala puts this, what we call tawfiq, this hidayah in a person's heart, to realize, you know what, there's something not right here. So there were youngsters that had this feeling within their heart, and they said that, how can we worship this here? How can we worship other than Allah Ta'ala? This does not feel right. So,
Mulana, just a second. Mulana, are you with us? Mulana, there's some sound coming there in the background as well. It's just distracting us from your message, mashallah. So if we can just, I'm not sure if it's a network or what's it.
Yeah, is it clear enough?
Gee, now I can hear you. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Gee, so two youngsters, they were such now that they had this feeling. And in a kingdom, in a land where everyone was idol worship, news had spread that there's a few youngsters that's not following the way of the forefathers, not following the way of the kingdom. So the king had summoned them in to question them and ask them what is happening. Now, these were youngsters in the court of the king. This king had the power to either let them free or to put them to death at the same time. Now, standing in such a court, can we imagine what might have been going through their heart? But Allah Ta'ala, when a person is blessed with iman, when a person is blessed with true guidance, then nothing, no powers can stand in his way. So they answered to the king that we will not worship anything besides Allah Ta'ala. Now, seeing the young age, the king had some pity on them. And the king said, you know, I'll give you a few days to reconsider what you are saying and then come back to me. So the youngsters, they went out, and thereafter they decided among themselves, you know what, we cannot go back to the king because he will definitely kill us. Because we know for sure that we are not giving up this way. We are on the right way. We are believing in Allah Ta'ala. So they decided that one of the youngsters were very well equipped with the caves around the area. And this is a difference which we find from the word of Kahf and Ghar. Ghar is a small opening in a mountain, just a little opening where you can take shelter, you can sit in. And a Kahf is a huge place within a mountain where there is tunnels, where there is other things, where it's not so easy. If you go in and if you do not know your navigation through it, the chances of you making it back out are very slim. So likewise, to find someone in there would have been very, very difficult. So one of these youngsters suggested, I know the cave very well. Let us go and take some refuge in there, take some of our provisions and go. And this was the thing they decided and they went on. So nevertheless, alhamdulillah, they went there. Now the king was waiting for them. He sent a search party. As we said, we're not going to go into the intricacies. Just going to give a quick overview so we understand what is happening. The king couldn't find them after a long time. After a very long time, they gave up. The king had then written their names onto a tablet and preserved it within the treasury of the kingdom so that those that come after are aware of what happened. Perhaps someone might find them or might take lesson not to disobey the king. That's what he thought. As we know, Allah Ta'ala had caused these youngsters to sleep for a very, very long time within the cave. And upon awakening, they woke up and they thought to themselves, maybe we slept for one day or a portion of the day. And they sent one of their friends, you know what, go into the kingdom now. Go in and see if you can find any food, but don't get caught. Don't make yourself known. So he went in and walking around, he sees, you know what, things are a bit different. But he went to one of the bakeries. He produced a coin within his pocket to pay. On seeing this, the shopkeeper thought maybe this person had discovered some sort of treasure. Or he thought that, you know what, don't play games with me. Give me my real money I want. This caused a commotion. And people came to see, the guards came to see. Eventually, he was summoned to the court of the king. And now he's seeing everything different around him. This king now, they had slept for 309 years according to the Hijri calendar and 300 according to the Gregorian calendar. Allah Ta'ala caused such a revolution to take place in this town of theirs that now everyone was worshipping the one true Allah Ta'ala. And the king that came upon them was that of righteousness and that of piety. So on seeing this here, he realized that these could be the sleepers, the dwellers of the cave. And after some sort of investigation, it was concluded that these are the dwellers of the cave. Thereafter, they said, you know what, go call your friends and come back or bring the rest of them. And from here, when that youngster went back, from here, historians, Mufassirin differ, but it is not exactly known what happened to them. Some say they went back into the cave and they slept away and they were gone. Some say Allah Ta'ala caused them to have maut at that time. But this was a lesson for the time. Now, why is this so crucial of every of all the incidents for our time? Firstly, we in our current day times, in our current situation, if you look at it, many a times we get this hidayat, this inspiration from Allah Ta'ala that what is happening around us is not correct. That first is that feeling in our heart, whether we are an adult or whether we are a youngster, that the certain event is happening now during the holidays, the certain concert might be taking place in the country, the certain function might be taking place in the family, but my heart, my iman is telling me firstly, like the youngsters, that this is not right what is happening. We have to listen to that there. This is a sign from the signs of Allah Ta'ala that Allah wants to guide us. Allah wants us to come closer to Him. Our first duty is to accept that call, accept that invitation and follow it, just like the youngsters of the cave. Had they pushed it aside and said, never mind, we'll go with the flow. Everyone is doing it, we'll just push it aside and we'll carry on. Then the miracle that would have came out would not have happened. The revolution of the lands could have not have happened. But it was the starting point of everything, that that inspiration Allah gives each and every believer within his heart to know that this is right and this is wrong. That many a times we're looking for fatwas, we're looking for muftis, but our biggest mufti is our heart. That even though we might get that fatwa, but we know in our heart that still I'm not comfortable. I know that there is a better way. That this is not the only way, there is a better way. So our first lesson we take from here is that now, whatever we might be booking, holidays, whatever it might be, let us first listen to that heart, that iman telling us that this is not correct, or this is correct, and go with it. Secondly, we see that it wasn't only one youngster, but it was a group. It was a group that pulled together and they stood strong. In numbers, there is always strength. Sometimes to go for Fajr Salah now, summertime, you know, Fajr is early. Sometimes to go alone, we find it difficult. It's so early in the morning, so dark, I'm lazy to pull out the car. I'm lazy to take a walk. But if we got someone with us, we got our father, we got our brother, we got our neighbors, where we, together, we associate and make a plan. Okay, today Fajr Salah, I'll pick you up and we'll go together. Just those few numbers together makes it easier for us to do good. Makes it easier for us also to say, let me tag along. Just like Ramadan time, we see, because the masjids are buzzing. Fajr time is so busy. Maghrib, every single namaz is so busy. So we feel it odd not to go for salah because everyone is going. So in numbers, we find strength. So for us during this holiday time, let us find that good company. Let us find that good environment, that good people who will encourage us towards good, who will help us and motivate us. But sometimes we do something alone, then we get lazy. But if we get just got someone to push us slightly, then we'll see how to go for that one program that might be taking place, to go for that Isha Salah that might be getting late now, it'll become much, much easier upon us. Likewise also, the influence of bad company has the same effect. Sometimes a person says, you know, I didn't want to listen to that music. I didn't want to go to a certain place where all my friends were going. I was in the car with them. So likewise, we have to choose our company very, very carefully. Very, very carefully. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave many, many ahadith regarding good company and good friends and the effects it has on us. It can be our friends, it can be our family. So we have to choose wisely on who we associate ourselves with, as that is what actions we will eventually end up doing. So the second lesson we pull is that let us associate ourselves with good company and not bad company, so that that way that laziness and that encouragement will become much, much easier, just like the Ashabul Kahf. The third lesson we can see is that they were summoned in the court of the king. No ordinary person is of the time. This person had all the power to do as he willed. But when Allah Ta'ala wants some goodness for you, then nothing can stop it. What stopped the king at that time to say, let me just execute you all now, set a lesson for the whole town? But Allah Ta'ala is in control of everyone's hearts. Allah Ta'ala is in control of every authority of the world. Allah Ta'ala put it in the mind of the king that let them go. Let them go. That who would have thought this would have happened? And same time, Allah Ta'ala gave such feeling, such firmness of heart to these youngsters, that in the court of the king, they never shy away, they never have become cowards, but they stood strong to their message that we are worshipping one Allah Ta'ala and we cannot follow y'all's way. So we take a lesson from here that in our lives as well, we might have our authorities above us, we might have the government, we might have our family, we might have our bosses, we might have whoever it is, and they might be pushing a certain agenda. They might be pushing certain pressures, family pressures, peer pressures upon you. That how can you not come for this function? How can you not join us? You're going to break up our friend circle. How can you not attend the event that is happening now? The whole family is going to be there. But this, just think of the Ashabul Kahf, that they were in a life or death situation, but they made it based on the iman, that if I was going to give in now, I might get away in this world, but my akhirah was destroyed forever and ever. So likewise, in our current day times now, it takes that willpower. It takes that trust in Allah Ta'ala that, oh Allah, I am doing it only for you. Then you'll see how Allah Ta'ala will strengthen their heart. And Allah Ta'ala says, وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, that we had strengthened their hearts. Allah says, we have done that. They had believed, we had strengthened their hearts. And Allah Ta'ala says also that we increased them in their guidance. All we have to do is be true believers of Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala will take care of the rest. So this is the next lesson we can see, that whatever pressures come above us, if we always put our deen first, if we always put Allah and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam first, then it doesn't matter who it is or what it is. Allah Ta'ala will take care of the rest, and Allah Ta'ala will make a way out for us. Thereafter, another lesson we take from the story, is that these youngsters now, they had decided clearly, we are not going to give up. We are sticking. Now they came with a plan. They said, let us go and take refuge. And think about it. They went into a cave. A cave is an eerie, dark place. We do not know what wild animals might be there. We do not know if you might get lost in there itself. We do not know if you might make it back out. The darkness, the coldness of the night of the cave, during the day, what animals might come in. All this could have been playing in their minds, but the main maqsad, the main purpose, oh Allah, we are doing it to safeguard our iman. We are doing it to safeguard our iman. They left all their luxuries, all the comforts of their town, of their homes, of their families, all that they knew, just to go away and to protect this most valuable iman of theirs. But our time, we'll see many programs taking place. We'll see so many jamaats are being formed, especially recently, so many youth programs has been made for the youngsters. That how can y'all be safeguarded from the evil environment of y'all? And how can y'all go into the cave of Hidayah or the cave of spirituality? In our day, we got the spiritual caves, whether it be the Darul Ulooms, whether it be the Madaris, whether it be the Masajid, whether it be the Khanka, the Tabligh work. All these are our so-called modern-day spiritual caves where we can come out of this environment, where we can come out of this evil surroundings around us so that we can be protected and go into a pure environment. So this is very, very crucial for us to understand, especially for parents that there, that maybe you're only going to get holiday later on and your children are free at the moment. But what are they doing with their time? Let us ensure that we are setting up a good environment for our kids, that they are not going to be vulnerable to the snares of shaitan, to the traps of Dajjal, but rather we are setting them up for this holiday where we know that the iman is protected. All it takes is one wrong decision. All it takes is one wrong function, one wrong friend. And that entire child's life can be misguided. It can be taking a different course. So while we got, Allah Ta'ala has blessed our country with so many opportunities, so many places where we can take a productive holiday, a productive break, where our deen will be safeguarded and taken even more greater heights. Let us utilize it and treasure this gift from Allah Ta'ala. So this is the next lesson we see, that how we can utilize the spiritual caves of our time to protect us from the time of the year, which is the most fitna out there, as we all know, is the most fitna. How we can utilize all that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us in our deen to safeguard this year. Then, very importantly, we see Allah Ta'ala says, فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ آذَانِهِمْ. Allah Ta'ala says, we shut the ears off. That when a person goes to sleep, generally, the last thing to sleep is his ears. His eyes might be closed, his body might be rest, but he'll still be listening. From this, many, many lessons the ulama have deduced, that firstly, we have to totally turn away from that environment, totally shut completely. So when we are going into these jamaats or the masajid or programs, then the entire outside world needs to be shut off. Unfortunately, with the mobile phone or the cellular phone, then we are taking that world with us into these pure environments where that effect of that purity now is being hampered and not taking its full effect. So let us see how we can do this, inshallah. Time is about running out. Let's conclude, inshallah, or very, very one last point, that we see at the end of it all, or during their stay in the cave, Allah Ta'ala took care of them. They made the dua. That's what it was. وَيُنْشِرُ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا. The youngsters were in the cave and they said, we'll take refuge in the cave. And one of them made the dua, oh Allah, we are handing over to your mercy. You will take care of us. And that is what made them, the dua. This is what we forget many, many times. Dua, dua, dua. That now we want our children to be protected. We want ourselves to be protected. Hand our affairs over to Allah. Do what is in our capability. Do what makes Allah Ta'ala happy. And make that dua to Allah. That ask Allah, oh Allah, you protect us. You keep our iman of our generation and the next generation safe. Oh Allah, you keep the entire ummah safe. You safeguard the iman. So this dua is which we are lacking greatly. That we're trying everything else for our kids. We are trying everything else for ourselves. But how much of dua are we really making? The Ashabul Kahf had taught us this very, very important lesson. That when now they took their refuge, that now when they took their means and they went into the cave, now who else can help them besides Allah? No one else. And that is when this dua and Allah Ta'ala allowed them to become a living miracle. Allah Ta'ala allowed them to come out in such a time where they're sleeping. Just their sleeping caused a revolution in the kingdom. They never go and fight the king. They never go and try to cause turmoil or try to turn people against the king. But rather, they did what Allah wanted. They did what Allah wanted to them. They did what was needed to save their God, their own iman. And this was so loved by Allah that Allah Ta'ala caused them to sleep for 309 years. And thereafter, Allah Ta'ala awakened them with a whole revolution around them. So we also got youngsters. We also got kids. We ourselves can be that revolution. We ourselves need to put ourselves forward. That now, at the time where the whole world, the whole country might be going towards fitna of this time of the year, where the whole world might be going towards functions and events which is breaking the commands of Allah. Oh Allah, just like the Ashabul Kaf, I will stay away to protect my iman. You accept me, you accept my family, you accept my progeny to become the revolution of this era, to become the mujaddids of the time, to cause the revolution of where deen comes alive again. So as the beauty of Ashabul Kaf, as we read every Friday, let us ponder upon these verses. Let us think that, am I following the principles of Ashabul Kaf? Did I take the lessons from it? And will I be able to bring this into my life and trust in my Allah Ta'ala that going forward, nothing will ever deter me, will ever push me off from Allah Ta'ala. It is only Allah, that Allah who has taken care of me, taken care of the entire world. Then for Him to safeguard my iman, if I just obey Him, it is nothing difficult, it is nothing hard whatsoever for Allah. But it has to come from me and you. It has to come from each one of us that how we want to save God our iman, and we avoid those avenues of sin and take those precautions that are necessary in our modern day time, inshallah.
Mulana Salman Yunus, jazakumullah khairan for that message. It was vitally needed, knowing what to do at the particular time. Make dua for us as well. Inshallah, we'll have you soon again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah, those were lessons from Suratul Kaf, as well as Mulana had said at the end, that here in South Africa, here where you are, wherever you may be in the world, knowing what to do at that time. The people, the youth of the cave, they knew, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted that and appreciated the action so much. So we as well in South Africa, we're not referring to those who are doing the honorable act of ibadah, and that is jihad, and there is our Hamas mujahideen in Syria as well. The mujahideen, they are fulfilling this which the ummah has neglected, and they are doing what they can do, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at their hands is granting help and assistance. But here in South Africa, the demand here is not jihad. The demand here is to rectify, to reform, to gain knowledge, to at this particular juncture. So Suratul Kaf, the youth, what must we do? What must we stay away from? All these messages that are being sent out there with regards to an attack on our iman, to save, to stay away from that, refrain from areas where our iman is going to be at risk. Allah guide us. Allah put us onto the straight path.